Have your Bibles this morning, turn to Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place, and he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God, and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the word of the prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning, Lord. And Father, I come to answer your call, Lord God, to preach the gospel. And Father, I stand here before your people, Lord God, with the word, Lord God, that you want them to hear, God. And I pray that you would speak through me to your people, Lord God, and let me get out of the way. And Father, help us to look at your word, Lord God, and God, take the word that we hear from you, Lord God, and that you have written for us, Lord God, and let us take that word and apply it to our lives. I pray, God, if there's one here this morning that doesn't know you, Lord God, that they would come to you today, Lord. And I pray that Christians all over this church this morning, Lord God, would want a closer walk with you, Lord. And Father, we give you the praise and give you the honor. Ask you to just be with us, Lord God, in this service. And I pray that you speak to the hearts of your people. In your name we pray. Amen. In Book of Revelation, everybody, there has been books, millions of books written. There's been millions of sermons preached. And I've told y'all before, I had a deacon in my other church we call Revelation Ed, because that's the only book he ever read. He didn't read anything but Revelation. But we live in a time in this country and in this world where that you can't help, whether you're a Christian or non-Christian, you cannot help but look at the situation that this world is in and think about what you've been taught or what you've heard in your lifetime about this world and about Jesus Christ. Because Jesus plainly tells us in this book, and he brought this to John, and there's a revelation means the end. Revelation is every book has an ending, and this is the ending of the Bible. And there's a lot of, I talk about every Sunday, there's a lot of writers, a lot of theologians, a lot of churches, a lot of seminaries that they've got this book of Revelation written off as another book. It might have been a dream that John had, and he might have had this, and he might not have, they don't like to preach the book of Revelation because it scares people. It's kind of like the hell that we preach about. But whether you believe it or not, the book of Revelation is a book just like the book of Genesis, just like the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels. The book of Revelation is a book, and every story has an ending. Every story has an ending. Every book you read has got an ending. Every life that is here this morning has an ending. And so God gave John this revelation on this island of Patmos. And I want to go over it again. He says the revelation, which is the revelation Jesus has given John, this book to tell you and I what to look for in the end times of this world that we live in. And before I go any further, I mean, look at it. We got Russia. We got China. We got disease. Matthew 24 says famines and pestilence, which means diseases. Food shortages. There is taxation, just like it was when the Romans were here. There is fighting among our leaders. There is murder like it never has been before. The suicide rate, I was reading the other day, and I mean, it's astronomical how many people kill themselves a minute in the United States. And how many people have committed suicide because they're scared? And so, and I'm telling you this morning, you better pay attention to what's going on in Russia and in China. They fired another missile last night or yesterday afternoon. It was one of the most powerful that they have shot since the president that we have now has been in office. And they're doing that to try to scare people. And the problem is that they have scared a whole bunch of people. Jesus wants you to know that he died for you, that he paid the price for you on that cross at Calvary, and all you have to do is accept him as your Savior. But Jesus did not want us to be ignorant. He says in Thessalonians, I don't want you to be ignorant, my brother, about those who do not have any hope, because we got a hope. And all these things are happening. He wanted us to see. So in the opening book of Revelations, he says, this is a revelation of Jesus Christ, which God has shown his servant John, the things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the words of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. Blessed, he's talking about you and I. Blessed is he who reads. Blessed is he who reads this. I've had so many people in my ministry tell me, I cannot understand the book of Revelation. It just don't make any sense to me. It's a dream. And so the theologians that I talk about every Sunday and the philosophers that I talk about and a lot of the college professors that don't want people to know the truth, they go along with this and they say it's just a dream. It was a dream, all right. It was a dream that God gave John. An angel of God spoke to him just like the angel Gabriel spoke to people and just like the angel spoke to Mary and told her she was going to have Jesus. And that angel spoke to John and told him, this is the revelation. This is the end. This is the things that your people need to look for. And he said that there will be famines. There will be pestilence. Famines, diseases, pestilence, food shortages. There's going to be all of these things are going to happen. And he says in Matthew 24 that these things must happen before the end of time, before God comes. But I want you to know this morning, people, that Jesus Christ is coming, and I believe with all of my heart that we are closer to the end of times than any of us can understand. I believe it. You know, you can read this book, and maybe we ought to go completely through it again. But I believe that God's people are going to have to go through part of the tribulation, and we might be in part of it right now. How do we know? But he says in Matthew 24, but those days will be shortened for the elect's sake, that we're going to be taken out of here. John is dreaming this, and Jesus says to John, he says in verse 2, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. So John, everything that he saw in his dream, this angel showed him, Jesus told him, and if you go through the book of Revelation, Jesus tells him, write this down, because this is important. And there's even parts of Revelation that it is so horrible, the things that are going to happen during the tribulation, that he tells him, don't write this, because he don't even want people to read it because it's so horrible. Well, he says, Jesus tells John, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the word. Not only are we supposed to, you know, the old Sunday school lesson, you read it, you hear it, and you understand it. That's what God said. Blessed is he who reads this, who understands this, and who does this. So many times that we as Christians, and we are the most guilty ones. You know, this New Testament was written to the church. It wasn't written to the lost people. It was written to the church that continued to mess up and tell them how to live. But many times we hear something and we don't believe it. We go to trying to make out, what does this mean? Could it mean this? Could it mean that? I tell y'all every Sunday, I'll continue to tell you, this Bible means exactly what it says. There ain't no changing it. There's not no, it says don't do this. That's exactly what it means. Don't do this. When he says that the Lord is coming and these are the signs that's going to take place, that is exactly what he means. He don't intend for we as preachers or Sunday school teachers or Christians who to take this word and try to figure out something that it don't say, because it says, blessed is he who reads, and blessed are those who hear the word of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. And I'm telling you, people, this morning, I don't know. He said, no man knows. He told the disciples in Matthew 24, that's where Matthew 24 starts. They're coming, they're by the temple, and they ask him, when are these things going to happen? And Jesus tells them, I don't know. Only the Father knows, but these are the signs of things that's going to happen. I don't even have to list those things this morning. You know what's happening in this world. I don't have to tell you. I'm not going to stand up here and beat and bash and tear the world down, but we know what's happening in the world. The United States of America, which is a country that was founded on God by our forefathers, is crumbling and caving in rapidly. My daddy used to say America's going to hell in a handbasket, just caving in. That's the way it is. And so God gets John on this island, and he begins to speak to him. And in verse 4, he says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia. So, and I said in the beginning, he is talking to the church. He's talking to you and I, the church. And at this time, there were seven churches in Asia. And I might preach the next 4, 5, or 6 Sundays on these churches. But he tells each church how they are doing and what they should do and what they need to do before he comes. And so he says, grace to you and peace from him who is, God, Jesus Christ. He is and who was, he is, he was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before the throne, and those seven spirits being the seven churches that were there at that time, the seven churches. Now there's churches all over. There's 70-something different denominations in this world. But God is coming after his church that goes by this right here. He's not coming after the church that changes this and twists it so that they can live the life they want to live. He's coming for the church that goes by this book right here. And he says, from the seven spirits who are bore his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. Stop right there. He wants us to be sure that we know Jesus Christ was the firstborn. He was the first dead that arose from the grave. And Jesus Christ is our Savior. He puts that right up front. Right up front. I try to put it up front in every message I preach. Jesus Christ gave his life on that cross. He died for you. He arose from that grave. He has gone to prepare a place for you. And just as this book we're reading says, he is going to come back. And when he comes back, he is going to take those that have accepted him as Christ and have confessed him as their Savior. And that's going to be it. It's going to be too late for anybody else. But he says, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the first from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. These kings of the earth, these politicians, you can start out from the lowest in the city to the highest in the state government to the highest in the United States. They ain't running nothing. Jesus Christ is running every bit of it. Jesus Christ is in charge, and he says here, the word says here, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood. Jesus Christ delivered us from our sins by his blood on the cross at Calvary. And I tell y'all every Sunday, you cannot ever be good enough. If you're sitting here this morning and the book of Revelation scares you, don't worry, because God said, if you believe me, I am going to take care of that sin in your life. Matter of fact, he says many times in the Bible, there will be no sin no more, and he will forget it, completely forget our sin because of his work on the cross at Calvary. It was His blood. It is by His Spirit that we live. He gave His life. It says, witness the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth to Him who loved us. He loved us enough. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He loved us and He washed us in His blood. Stop right there. You know, there's churches, they don't want to talk about hell because the fire is too hot. They don't want to talk about blood because blood is, you know, that's horror. That's, they don't want to talk about death because, you know, but that's just too much. Little kids don't need to hear that. I heard it from a time I could open my eyes when they put me on we didn't have bassinets back then. They laid me on a church pew and I heard them hollering and screaming from the day I was born. And I don't guess it hurt, you know. But they're scared to talk about the blood. They're scared to talk about hell. They're scared to talk about all these things that we need to talk about because life, I said it, Sister Ruth's mother's funeral yesterday, life has a beginning and life has an end. When you are born, you don't have any choice who your mom and dad is. You don't have any choice what color your hair is, what color your eyes are, what race you are. You don't have any choice. But in between that day you were born and that day you died, there is a choice. And that choice is Jesus Christ. And that is the only way that you're going to get out of this. It's by Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and by believing His word that He has written. He said, blessed are those who hear and do what I say do. Blessed. And I'm telling you, people, you may be tired of hearing me, but the Lord keeps on. I was sitting there preparing my little old sermon that I prepared this week. I got a few notes written, and it was pretty. You know, I mean, it was real good. But God don't want you to hear that this morning. God wants you to hear the truth. The truth is, time is short, and the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. And you say in your mind, oh, Lord, I've got my wife and my kids, and the wonderful thing about it is that people don't understand. They think of Christ. They think about the end of the world. They think of heaven and hell, and it scares them to death. But the wonderful thing about it is, it's the truth. Hope you don't mind me using your mama because that's the last funeral I've done this week. But she is in heaven with Jesus Christ, and when all this happens, there's not going to be no more coronavirus. There's not going to be no more bombs. There's not going to be no more war. There's not going to be no mistreated kid. We're all going to be in heaven with Jesus Christ, and everything is going to be wonderful. Things will never be wonderful here. I don't care what politician, I don't care what preacher tells you. The things of this world will never, ever be perfect, ever. Not going to happen. They have been fighting for 2,000 something years, and they're going to continue to fight till Jesus comes. But He said, blessed are those who keep my word. Blessed are those who hear my word. And He said, verse 5 again, and Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His blood, and has made us kings and priests to His God and Father, to His glory. You think, buddy? Jesus made us kings and priests to His Father. That's what His words are. I didn't say that. What is a king and a priest? There's somebody that is looked up to. There's somebody that are, you know, they wear the crowns and the jewels and all. Jesus said that because of what He went through on that cross at Calvary, that you and I are going to be kings and priests to Him. That's how much He loves us. We don't understand that. We can't comprehend that. We think about, I remember when I was a kid and before I was saved, and some of you kids are in here this morning, teenagers, and you hear me say the end of the world, and this big lump gets in your chest or in your stomach, and you can't understand and you can't comprehend. God is going to make way. He has already made way for you to go to heaven and spend eternity with Him. And it's nothing scary about it. We should be rejoicing. It says, behold, He is coming with clouds, and every eye will see Him, even they who pierced him. Think about that. Everyone is going to see him. Everybody. Everybody is going, where are you going to heaven or are you going to hell? When that eastern sky rolls back, everybody is going to see him, even the one that gambled at the foot of the cross, even the ones that beat him before he was hung on the cross, the ones that drove the nails in his hands are going to see him. Remember the rich man Lazarus that I preached about hell? Lazarus was in heaven, the rich man was in hell, and he saw all the mistakes that he made all of his life. Jesus says that those, when he comes, let me stop a minute and try to explain something. When you die, everybody is appointed to die. And one of my favorite verses I quote about every Sunday in Hebrews, appoint a man to die and then the judgment. You're going to go before God. And whatever you have done between the time you were born and the time that you died, you're going to, God is going to say, well done, or you're going straight to hell, and that's it. If you don't die, the rapture of the church is going to take place. I've had people say, I have people right here in this church that don't come no more because I've said this, and I didn't say it. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, and they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I didn't say that. The Bible said Jesus is going to come back on the cloud. One day, Jesus, the Son and Father to God, is sitting there, and God is going to say, I'm, just like he said in Genesis. He looked down on mankind, and he said, it makes me sick at my stomach, and I'm going to destroy him. One day, God is going to look at Jesus Christ, he's going to say, that's it. I've had all of the bombing, all of the rapes, all of the child molestation, all of the divorces, all of the people destroying their lives with drugs and alcohol and all the things that you can destroy. I have had it. Go get them. When that happens, the eastern sky is going to roll back. The dead in Christ, if you read Thessalonians, are going to rise. Their spirit is with God already. Their soul is going, their body is going to meet Christ in the air. It says the dead in Christ will rise, and then those of us who are left behind, those of us who did not die, are going to be caught up in the sky with Jesus. Jesus is not coming back to the earth. He's coming in the air. We're going to go with Jesus, and we're going to go, and there's going to be 7 years of total chaos on this earth. Can you imagine living here today? We have the Lord Jesus Christ. He said he'd never leave us. He'd never say, he's right here with us. Can you imagine when he leaves here? Can you imagine when he is gone, what's going to take place? It's going to be something you don't want to live in. You say, no, you know, there's not, that's not going to, it's not going to happen like that. They said this, he said that, they said that. No way this can happen. It's humanly impossible. Let me tell you something. God does not operate on the things that seem possible to us. Everything that God does is impossible. We think it's impossible, but he can do it. He rose Lazarus from the dead. He has used people in this church to pray for people and they were healed. He's used many pastors and preachers and lay people to pray and things that happen. God says that if his people would humble themselves and pray and turn their wicked ways, he would save our land. But we live in a country today, and we live with religious people that don't even want to pray no more. I tell y'all this every Sunday. Sometimes I pray, I tell John, what in the world? Am I doing something wrong? What is happening? I would get up. When I was a kid, when Tommy Glenn was a kid, when Osie was a kid, you could go over here to church for Brother Bill and my daddy, and they were preaching. And on Wednesday night, they'd get up there, they'd sing about four songs. The preacher would say a few words, and then he said, let's pray. And they would come down to them old altars over there, and we'd be outside playing in the church, and you could hear them praising the Lord and praying for an hour or two. Till it broke up, we'd be playing in the churchyard. People don't pray like that. God said, if my people will pray, If we would just pray, we could, you know, you say, it's going to come. It is going to come. And I'm preaching that God is telling us it is going to come. I am coming. But there is a way. God died that every human being on this earth would be saved. And I believe it. Even in the time of tribulation, there's going to be billions of people saved. But Lord, what they're going to have to go through. We think it's rough now. It's not rough. It's nothing compared to what it's going to be. I turn to, where am I at, Lord? 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And Jesus said, the Lord said, and Solomon has just built his temple, and he said, then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayers, and I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sanctification. When I shut up heaven, and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, and send pestilence among the people. Pestilence. Go look that up. Go look up pestilence. Everybody thinks about bugs and everything. Infectious diseases. Food shortages. He says when things are like they are right now today, he says, if my people, the church, we're his people. Where everybody out there is his people. He loves a sinner till he takes his last breath. Everybody's going to have a chance to be saved. He loves us. But, he said, if my people, the one that confess him now, you that are in church this morning that believe in God or trying to find your way to God, he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, and I will hear from heaven and will give their sins and forgive their sins and heal their land. And then he tells Solomon, he said, now my eyes is open. My eyes is open. And I got my ears. I'm listening. What y'all going to do? We're not doing nothing. Your pastor... None of it. We're not doing nothing compared to what we need to be doing for God. I said in one of my devotions in the morning this week, and God just put this in my mind, and it hit me. It's just like he slapped me right beside my head. He said, how did it go? Basically what he said is, do you spend as much time in your Bible and on your knees as you stay on that cell phone you got in your pocket? I mean, really, what are we doing? He said, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, then I, being God, will save their land, and he will. And then, you know what God? You know why God sent Jesus to the cross? That people would be saved. It is his will that this world, that everybody in this world be saved. He died for that. But we have to claim that. And we have to tell people in the situation that we have let this world get into now is that God's about had enough, I really believe. He's about had enough. Think about it. I mentioned Russia, China, all the things that's going on. Don't be surprised if something big don't happen when they start this Olympic Games over. God is coming. He tells us in the book of Revelation, I'm coming. The time is short is what he says. James 5:16 says, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's what he said. Are we praying enough for the sick? Are we praying enough that people would come and be? I mean, if everybody would get over the coronavirus and the things that's going on, and I mean, I know the coronavirus is real. I like to lost my son. I mean, God, thank God every day that Michael is alive today because God saved him. God healed him. It's bad stuff. A lot of us have had it. A lot of you have had it. And you have been sick. But it is time that we move on and give it to God and go on. It's just another scare that people that the world is using. You know, they can have these doctors on TV telling about everything's looking good, the numbers are going down, and the news media get on there and say, oh, it ain't over yet. But the truth about it is it's dying out. But they want to pump it up. They want to scare you. Don't let them scare you. God said, let not your heart be troubled. All these things are going to happen before the great and coming day of the Lord. All these things are going to happen. It is going to happen. And the only thing that you can do is pray. John Knox was a preacher in the 1800s. And because of his prayers, the Queen Mary, the queen at that time, said she was more scared of his prayers than she was of the French destroying the country. Because that man prayed. Because he prayed. All of y'all have heard of John Wesley. John Wesley prayed and revival came to the whole nation of England. And thousands and thousands and thousands of people would pray because of that one man. Because of the prayers of one man. And there was another, Jonathan Edwards, that prayed in that day. And people were, revival broke out. And people were, because they prayed. Now, I'm not talking about, you think, well, this whole preacher's crazy. I don't do it myself. I pray, but I don't pray like they prayed. I'm talking about they'd get on their knees and they would pray. And they would pray, and they would pray, and they would pray. They wouldn't eat or they wouldn't drink for hours, sometimes days. They say the Reverend Billy Graham prayed about 6 hours a day. Every morning he would get up, have his coffee, eat breakfast, go into his study and stay about 6 hours and pray and study God's Word. You see, that's the commitment that God wants from you and I. That is what's going to stop the end times from coming. That is what's going to heal our land. But God says that, behold, he is coming. And he's coming with the cloud. And every eye will see him. Even the ones that put him on that cross, that drove them spikes, and was gonna, they're going to see him. He says, I am Alpha. I am Omega. The beginning, the end, says the Lord. Who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Are you ready this morning if that day comes? I said, are you ready? Do you know? Do you know that you know? Are you tired of playing? And it's not like you've heard. It's not like anything that you ever had. It's something that is completely will change your life. I'm telling you, it will change your life forever. And you don't have to do nothing to get it, except if that Holy Spirit of God is drawing you to him this morning, is to accept it. That's all you got to do. You don't have to know the Bible backwards or forward. You don't have to, I want you to come to church every Sunday. I say, you don't have to come to church every Sunday. You don't have to come every time a door's open. You've got to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's right. Amen. You just got to give it to Jesus. You just got to know. You got to know. In verse 9 it says, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation of the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island of Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in this book and send it to the seven churches. Send it to the churches. God has sent it to the churches right now. And I get back to what I was saying. Accepting Jesus Christ is just saying, Lord, I have messed it up. I messed it up. And Lord, I know I'm not no good. I'm a sinner. But Lord, I want to give you my heart and give you my soul. And that peace will enter you that you cannot explain. That you will never be, and there will be times, he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. There's times when you can feel it. When things are bad, 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 he lifts you up. When things are good, he's there. But God is there and nothing can explain it. Nothing can take it away from you. You'll never be snatched out of his hand. Nothing. Nothing can take it. But the Lord is coming, people, and we got to be ready. And he says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. That is the biggest thing in this whole wide world that's going on right now. Fear. Right. Everybody is scared by basically to death. Yep. Why? God says, I have overcome. In the world there is tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Your Lord and Savior said, and I think it's John 6:33, where that's at. He said, I've overcome the world. Don't let the world drag you down, because I have already overcome the world. Don't worry about the world. Don't worry about, I started to say Khrushchev. You see how old I am. Don't worry about Putin. Don't worry about Korea. Don't worry about China. Don't worry. I got you. That's what he said. And there's nobody else that, there's not an insurance company, an insurance policy. There's nothing in this world that you can buy that is truthful that'll say, if you take this, you're going to heaven, except Jesus Christ. And if you take him, you're going to heaven and you're going to be with him. And he said that nothing can take you out of his hand. Nothing. Nothing can take you out of his hand. Not a thing can take you out of his hand. Nothing. There's a day to be born, he says in Lamentations. There's a day to be born. There's a day to plant. There's a day to harvest. There's a day that you're going to die. And when you die, the main thing that God wants you to know this morning, Jesus Christ, that I want you to know, you don't have to go to hell. All you got to do is just ask him. Just ask him. My old big head cousin ain't here this morning. I talk about him. I always like to talk about him. Robert, Robo. I hope he's watching. He was a hellion. I prayed for him from the time I got saved till he got saved. Now, I'm telling you, he was good. He was a good old boy. The problem is hell is going to be full of good old boys. And one day, his heart was hurting, and he put in the hospital. And John and I went up there to see him, and I had to give up. I'm still saying my little prayer. I want to say a while ago when I was talking about them old guys prayed for hours and hours. They didn't just say, "Now lay me down to sleep, Lord, I pray my soul to keep. Thanks for the bean, thanks for the meat." They prayed, and I was praying for him, but I really didn't, I had no hope for him, but I knew there was hope for him, but I didn't. But anyway, he's supposed to go out. They're supposed to roll him out and take him to do this heart procedure. And I prayed with him, and Jonah, we went to walk out the door, and the guy was standing at the door, and Jonah said, "Robert, don't you want to be saved?" He said, "Yes, yeah, about time. I was hoping somebody there." And Joanna and I led him in a prayer. Joanna led him in a prayer. And when some people, that's, when you give your heart to the Lord, it's just that peace. Some people, like Robert, he's vocal anyway because God's going to use him. He's going to be vocal. And as soon as he was saved, he told that guy, "Wait a minute, did you feel that?" The guy waiting at the door to roll him down there. He said, "Well, hold up a minute." And we must have sat in that room for 5 or 10 minutes with him praying just because of what had happened in his life. And he wouldn't even let him take, he didn't care if he had a heart attack or what. He wanted to soak up what had just happened to him. Some people it happens like that. Some people you just come down there. Some people you're standing right there where you're standing in a minute. We play the song and you just say, "Lord, forgive me. I know I have messed up." And believe me, if you get it, if your heart and your mind is lined up with the cross and Jesus Christ, you're going to tell somebody, "Hey, I got saved." And your actions and your ways are going to be changed. There was a man one time that lost a, this just come to my head. This is a story, it's got to be. Cause there was a man one time that lost millions of dollars. He lost his home. He lost everything that he had. And he was one thing that he hung on to, and that was God. And one day he was walking down the street, sad and blue and lonesome and hurting. And he's walking down the street, and he saw this bricklayer working on this big, big church in this town that he lived in. And this bricklayer was working and chopping on a stone, but he was making it in a shape of a pyramid, an angle, pyramid. And he was sitting there, and that man stopped, and he looked at him standing out there by the brick pile. He said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm laying brick." He said, "You see way up there on that steeple?" He said, "Yeah, I see way up there." He said, "You see that little triangle spot? I'm carving this stone to fit in that spot." Jesus Christ today, when you get saved, starts working on you. And there is a place in his kingdom that he's going to shape you, and he's going to form you to fit just like that rock on that, just like that rock on that steeple. He's going to make you fit what he wants you to be. I can't tell you how to do it. Your mama can't tell you how to do it. Your wife can't tell you how to do it. Ain't nobody going to stop you, because you're going to do it if you get the if you get Jesus Christ in your life. Nothing is going to stop you. But I'm telling you right now, people, we as God's people are not doing what we could. We're doing about 10%. If you got a needle there like you got in your car, we, you know, charge is way up here. We're about right here. We're not doing what God. I mean, we're reading our Bible. We're praying. We're coming to church. But are you praying? What's that old song we used to sing, Joan? How long has it been since you kneeled by your bed and prayed till the sun came up? How long has it been till you really, really got serious and gave it to God? Because God is shaping you, and he wants you to fit in his kingdom. But he, as men and women of God, as his people, he gave us a choice. You can do this or you can do that. If you do this, you're going to be with me for eternity. If you do that, you're going to wind up in hell. And hell is fire, regardless of what they say. Hell is fire. Eternally. 10 times hotter than anything you've ever saw on this earth. In closing, I was watching football game last Sunday. And this atheist come on the TV. He was the foundation for the foundation from, anyway, he was against, foundation from freedom of religion. He, in other words, he was against religion. And he's taking up money. And he says on the TV in our country, and this is what I'm saying, "I am just a good atheist, and I am not scared to die in hellfire." Think about it. Where's our country going? Father, I come to you this morning, and I praise you, and I honor you, and I love you. Father, thank you for this opportunity, Lord God, to share you with your people, Lord. And God, I pray that if there's anyone in this church this morning, God, that's got that messed up feeling in their stomach, and they're nervous, and their palms are sweating, and they want to get out of here, that's you, Lord. Help them understand that's you. And you want them to accept you right now today, Lord. Father, I pray that as we stand all over this building with our head bowed and our eyes closed, Lord God, that we would pray to you as your people, Christians praying. People, if you don't know him, just say that simple prayer. And just come down here and tell me you said it. Father, I messed up. I know I've messed my life up, and I thought it was too hard to become a Christian, but Lord, I take you as my Savior. And I trust you, Lord God, as that bricklayer sharpened that stone, Father, I trust you, Lord God, to make me fit into your place. And Father, I just want you to forgive me, and I just want to live with you. I want to do the best that I can do. God, help them to realize that that's all they can do, the best that they can do, God, but they got the best doing it for them, God. And I give you the praise, I give you the honor, and I give you the glory, Lord God. I pray that you would speak to your people. In your name we pray. Amen.